It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.
Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. Thank you for joining us today. I'm glad you're with us. We got a great show. I'm going to be talking about your life as a prize, your purpose, the purpose of your life, and how the Lord can give you your life as a prize. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let me remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. At our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org, we've got a host of things that I think you'll find to be very helpful. We've got a YouTube channel there where we've got some of the things we talk about on the radio show, but in an extended version with handouts and things. We've got exercises on that website. We've got past radio shows on that website, 721ministries.org. Our other website, puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. We've got our books that we sell there, and we've also got a sign up there for our weekly devotionals that we send out free of charge. They go out every Thursday. We've got a couple thousand people that receive those. I'd love for you to join that list at puttinggreenblog.com and check out our books, two Putting Green devotional books that we've had great feedback on those, and then our latest book, The Missing Link, which is a story about learning to live with the power of the Holy Spirit, following Peter and some of the other disciples in a sort of a historical narrative through the book of Acts as they learn to live with the Holy Spirit after Jesus has ascended to heaven. And just think about that for a moment. What would it be like to be Peter and the other disciples and Jesus is gone? And then this Holy Spirit comes. And how do you learn to live with the power of the Holy Spirit that you cannot see or feel or touch? You cannot sit next to like Peter and the other disciples could with Jesus. Jesus is doing all the heavy lifting, and now it's up to them. And the reason I think this book is so helpful, The Missing Link, is because you can read about the Holy Spirit in Scripture, but you really, it's difficult to understand and to learn and to lean into living with the power of the Holy Spirit because it's an experiential thing. You have to experience it. And so you can watch Peter and live along with Peter and the other disciples as they go through the process of learning to live with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Missing Link at puttinggreenblog.com. Okay, last week we talked about having a yard sale of the heart. You should go back and listen to that July 10th show. Today we're going to talk about your life as a prize. And I want to start by reading 1 Corinthians 3:10 because see what I want to ask you and what I want to get you focused on is your purpose in life. What are you doing with your life that is going to have eternal value? Because man, I'm telling you, life is going to be over before you know it. Maybe it'll be tragically way too soon or maybe you'll be 90 years old, but either way, you know how fast it's going. And you know that you're going to want to, wish you had done more things with an eternal value. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit through Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:10. By the grace God has given me, Paul says, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. I want you to hear these words, this word build that he continues to use, because it's about building your life. He said, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. That means other apostles are coming along behind him and building on where he established these churches. But each one should build with care, build their life with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We start with Jesus. Now listen to verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, those would be building your life based on things that have eternal value. Or, instead, wood, hay, or straw, things that have no eternal value. All the busyness of this world, all the running around, all the committees, all the things that just flat don't, all the ways you amuse yourself that have no eternal value. Their work, your life, I would say, will be shown for what it is. Because the day, that would be Judgment Day, the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. each person's life. If what you have built survives, you will receive a reward. If it is burned up, you will suffer loss. You'll be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. See, this is written to born-again Christians. It's not an issue of salvation. It's an issue of what you do with your life here and now, and how much of that has an eternal value. So here we are, July 17th, 2020, in the midst of this COVID-19 mess. And the question I'd ask you is, what will be your story after this? Because you're going to have a story looking back. I've shared with you at times my parents' stories about World War II and the Great Depression. You're going to have a story about COVID-19 in your life. And will it be about toilet paper, or will it be about transformation? Really, will it be about toilet paper? Will it be about something that happened during this time that you really were transformed because of the challenge of this time? You went deeper with Jesus. He bumped the trajectory. You died to self. You gave up some things. You, as we said last week, you had a yard sale of the heart, and your life was never the same afterwards because you used this time to get closer to Jesus. So can you imagine telling your children or your grandchildren, you know, that in 2020, no one saw it coming. It swept the world. No, our leaders didn't know what to do. They fumbled around. They did the best they could. They shut things down. They almost killed the economy. And I'm talking about not the president, governors, mayors, everyone. Everyone's trying to figure out what to do. And you're telling the story, and you're saying, you know, and when we finally got to the other side and we got a vaccination and things went somewhat back to normal, boy, I tell you, all I can think about is toilet paper. I always appreciate having toilet paper now. Is that going to be your story? Or might you say, you know, during that time I had to do some soul searching. And I really looked deep because, number one, there was a lot of time there was nothing to do. All that other stuff that had been cluttering up our lives, all that rushing around, all those committees and all the events our children, we had to have them involved in. All those things went away, and suddenly I'm faced with, what am I going to do to fill my time? Look at all this stuff I've been doing that has wood, hay, and straw. I don't want that to be my story. So let me share the story with you that I learned from Brad Gray, who his website is Walking the Text, and he's excellent, Brad Gray at Walking the Text. But he told us this story when we were in Israel, and it's about a rabbi and a Roman soldier. And it seems our rabbi was walking one night, coming back from his service at the temple, and he was deep in his contemplation about the scriptures and maybe possibly memorized, speaking out loud, reciting memorized scripture. And he takes a wrong turn at a fork in the road. And suddenly he is startled by this shout, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And the rabbi realizes that he's stumbled into a Roman outpost. And for a moment he freezes in his steps. And again the Roman soldier roars out, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" The rabbi pauses for a moment. And then, in typical rabbinic fashion, as Jesus did so often, he has his own question for the Roman soldier. And so he calls out, "How much do you get paid?" Well, the Roman soldier is perplexed by that response, and he says, "I get paid 2 denarii a day, Jew. Why?" And the rabbi responds, "Because I will double your wage if you come to my house every morning and ask me those same 2 questions. Oh my. So I ask you, who are you and what are you doing here? The rabbi wants the centurion, the Roman soldier, to remind him each morning as he goes about his day, who am I, what am I doing here? You see, you can see that these 2 questions are tightly linked together because the way you answer the second question, what am I doing here, answers the first by itself. Who are you? What you're doing here becomes who you are. Put another way, how I set my path each day, my to-do list, my order of priorities, my purpose, they become the roadmap of who I become. It becomes my story. So how would you answer these two questions? Who are you? What are you doing here? How would you answer those two questions? Or maybe more poignantly, how would others answer that about you? Now that stings a little bit, doesn't it? Would they say he or she is a successful lawyer, a doctor, a business person, a teacher, really smart, really driven, drinks a little too much, but a really fun friend, a really good golfer, a really good tennis player, a hunter, a fisherman, a poker player, a designer, a huge Clemson or a huge Carolina fan? Is that what they'd say? Who are you and what are you doing here? Or perhaps would someone say, you know, he or she made a difference in my life. He or she knows Jesus, and I could see something different about them, and there is something different about them. And he or she fed into my life and may not have even known it, but they did. The rabbi wants the soldier to come each morning to remind him to think deeply about his answers before he starts the day. Because he understands that each day becomes each month, becomes each year, becomes his life, and thus his story. So here in the midst of this COVID-19, who knows when it's going to go away or going to get better or things are going to change, what's going to be your story that you're telling your children or your grandchildren? And you answer that by asking the question, who am I and what am I doing here? Tim Keller has a great quotation. He says, when work is your identity, success will go to your head and failure will go to your heart. When work is your identity, success will go to your head. You'll say, whoa, look what I've done. And failure will go to your heart. I'm no good. Well, let's substitute, instead of work, let's substitute the word performance. How well you do in life at things. When performance is your identity, I've done really well, success will go to your head, or I haven't really performed like my best friends have or my other family members have, then failure will go to your heart. So who are you and what are you doing here? And I want to remind you that Jesus is very focused on this. In Matthew 25, when he gives the parable of the talents, he starts, Matthew 25:14, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Do you understand when Jesus says, who's going to trust you with true riches when you haven't been faithful with little riches, worldly wealth kind of stuff? It's exactly what he's saying here. A man goes on a journey. Jesus has returned to heaven. He's coming back. But he brought his servants in and he entrusted his wealth to them. And to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Who are you? What are you doing here? He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you natural gifts. And he's looking to see what you're doing with your life according to each to his ability. And so then he goes on his journey, and he comes back, and he is coming back. And he is going to ask you about this. And it will matter to you then. It's not a matter of getting into heaven. It's a matter of what your eternal life is like afterwards. It's a matter of pleasing Jesus, of fulfilling his destiny for you. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for you to do. Ephesians 2:10-11. We're God's craftsmanship to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. So in Matthew 25, the man who was given 5 talents, 5 bags of gold, he doubled it. The man who was given 2, he doubled it. You see, it doesn't matter how much, it's what you did with what he gave you. The man who didn't do anything with it, he's like you. Lazy, distracted, too busy with things that have no eternal value. I understand. You're just getting through the day. You're doing what has to be done. You're feeding the alligators, all those things. I understand that. I'm not judging you. I'm not being critical of you. I'm telling you, none of that's going to matter. I want to be intentional about my daily purpose. So my story is not mostly about the temporal, but instead about the eternal. Don't you? Dallas Willard put it very bluntly. If what you are doing is not eternally significant, then it is eternally insignificant. That stings, doesn't it? If what you are doing is not eternally significant, then it is eternally insignificant. Now, my friend, there are things I do during the day that are eternally insignificant. Certainly, I like to watch PTI on ESPN. I like to read novels that have no eternal value, that aren't doing anything. I'm not saying you're someone who's spending 24 or 16 waking hours. I'm saying, what is your purpose? Who are you and what are you doing here? Because the way you answer, what are you doing here, if you answer that question with eternal significance, even if for just part of each day, making a positive difference in someone else's life, helping someone in need, feeding into someone's life, showing them Jesus in you, even if they don't know that's what you're doing, then the answer for who are you will be, well done, good and faithful servant. If you've been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Don't you want that? So what is your purpose in your life today, tomorrow? Who are you? What are you doing here? C.S. Lewis has another wonderful quotation. In Mere Christianity, he makes this statement, "The long and terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy." The long and terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. Imagine the mistakes you've made in your life as you sought happiness. The mistakes you made, the bad choices you made, the sins in your life. If someone had stepped in front of you as you were headed in that direction and said, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" Wouldn't that have been a treasure? The rabbi knew what he was doing when he said to the Roman soldier, "I'll pay you double if you'll just come stand outside my house and ask me that each day. What am I doing today?" Listen to Psalm 127. I've got an Old Testament version of the New Testament that I read with 1 Corinthians 3 about building your foundation. Remember I asked you to focus on that word build? 1 Corinthians 3, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones versus wood, hay, or straw. Listen to Psalm 127:1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." Now let me add something to this passage with you. Unless the Lord builds the house with you, you labor in vain. Because the Lord's not going to build the house for you. He wants you to start building the house, your foundation, your life, your work, your purpose, your story, but he wants to build it with you. "Unless the Lord builds the house with you, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city with you, the guards stand watch in vain." And listen how this continues. Verse 2. "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat." Is that true? Can I get an amen on that? You lose sleep because you're worried about work. And then he says, "For he grants sleep to those he loves." You see, your Heavenly Father wants you to have a purpose in your life. He wants you to build a life with him, and he wants to do it with you. Remember, Jesus says in John 15, "If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can bear no fruit." And you would want to say to Psalm 127, "Well, wait a minute, I did build that house, and I did produce that fruit, and I did," and the Lord would say, "Well, it means nothing eternally, because you didn't include me in it." Remember, inheritance is what you leave for someone. Legacy is what you leave in someone. So you spend all your life building up for an inheritance for your loved ones. That's what you leave for them. But if your life has a purpose, has an eternal purpose, at least some parts of each day, then the legacy you leave in them will carry them on through life. How do we have this purpose? How do we find the life that is truly life? How do we find our life as a prize? And we're going to talk more about that next week. I'm sort of starting to set up the foundation for next week. Let me start with this statement from Psalm 37:4. Any of you who know me know this is one of my favorite heart-wrenching passages. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Who are you? What are you doing here? I'm delighting myself in the Lord and not in myself. I'm not searching for happiness, as C.S. Lewis says, the long, terrible story of trying to find happiness apart from the Lord. I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I'm taking my focus off of what I think are the desires of my heart, which all they do is distract me and discourage me and get me busy chasing after things, losing sleep. No, I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I'm putting my focus on Him and asking Him to build the house with me, asking Him to stand guard, watching the city with me. What are the desires of your heart? And if I asked you this, and I asked you to take an index card, you would write down a bunch of desires probably very quickly. And maybe they would have to do with your marriage, your job, who your boss is, your clients, your employees, your money, your future, financial security, your health, your house, your car, your reputation, your children, and their lives. None of these are evil, but they're not the desires, the true desires of your heart. The catch is you don't know what the desires of your heart are. You don't know. So when the Lord says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of our heart, you don't know what they are. But He does. In Jeremiah 45:5, in the New King James Version, I will give you your life as a prize in all places wherever you go. I will give you your life as a prize in all places wherever you go. How do we get that life as a prize? Because I have it. I have it. I am. I'm living my life as a prize. I have my darkness in my heart. I have issues that I'm dealing with. But He has given me the life that is truly life. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, He's given it to you too. You just may not realize it. You may not have slowed down enough to realize that you are the luckiest person on the planet. Because Jesus is giving you the desires of your heart. But the key is to take your focus off what you think are the desires of your heart. It's the same message in Matthew 16, verse 25. Same message is delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever's willing to lose it for me will find life. If you are willing to let go, if you'll just delight yourself in the Lord and forget about the other things, asking Him to build a house with you, asking Him to stand guard with you, then you will bear much fruit. But if you try to hold on to the things that you think will make you happy, that you are so sure that they will, that you're going to white knuckle to get it, you're going to control, because I got to have this, you're going to miss the life that is truly life, and your life will not be given to you as a prize. I love this little segment in Acts 5:20. The disciples all have been arrested. They've all spent the night in jail. An angel comes and frees them and escorts them out and then points them towards the temple. And he says this in Acts 5:20. The angel says, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell people the full message of..." And I would expect him to say, Jesus' teachings, Jesus' parables, His miracles, the Sermon on the Mount. I would expect the angel to say, go stand in the temple courts and tell people the full message of Jesus' teachings, of Jesus' words, or even of Jesus' life. But that's not what the angel says. Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life, this life as a prize. This life that has the desires of my heart. So let's take this and set up next week's show. How am I going to get my life as a prize? How am I going to find the desires of my heart? If your Heavenly Father came to you and said, I'd like to give you your life as a prize, what do you want? If he asked that to you, if he came to you and said that, how would you respond to him? Sam, I'd like for your life to be a prize. I'd like to give you your life as a prize. I'd like to give you the desires of your heart. What do you want? How would you respond to him? And please don't pull your index card out and start writing things down. Because the only wise answer is to say, you choose, Father. I'll delight myself in you because I know that you will give me my life as a prize. If you read Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, you'll find this idea of your life as a prize in his April 28th devotion. And he talks about how we get this life, and it's when we abandon the things that we think are so great. I'll just read a little bit of it to you, and then we'll finish today's show. Oswald says, this is the firm and immovable secret of the Lord to those who trust him. I will give your life to you as a prize. And then he says, are you prepared to let God take you into total oneness with himself, paying no more attention to what, listen now, to what you call the great things of life, the desires of your heart? Are you prepared to let go of that and go into a total oneness with God himself? Are you prepared to surrender and totally let go? Let go of that index card of what you're so sure will make you happy. The true test of abandonment and surrender is in refusing to say, I won't do it. I've got to have what I've got to have. So next week, my friends, I want to start a conversation about what it looks like to abandon your life to God. To get that life as a prize, what does it look like to abandon your life to God? And I will tell you that it starts with abandoning the outcome to God. One of our favorite phrases in 721 Ministries is abandon the outcome to God, because you do not control the outcome. To have the life that is truly life, your life as a prize, is to let go of the things that you think you have to have. Who are you? What are you doing here? I'm Sam Hunter, and this is 721 Live. So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.
Whenever God shines a light on me, open up my eyes so I can see. When I look up in the darkest night, then I know everything is going to be all right.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.